Stepping away from the debt crisis and the debt ceiling debacle and all of the machinations in Washington, D.C., at the end of the week, the Labor Department will issue its July jobs report indicating what the unemployment rate is. And it's not expected necessarily to be good news. 25 million Americans couldn't find work last month. The unemployment rate is above 9%. But nobody lives in the whole United States. People get jobs in their local economies, in their local communities. And so we decided to take a look at what the unemployment picture actually means in specific localities and focusing on the mobility, the traditional mobility of the American workforce, where one might go to actually find the jobs that are being created in the private sector, noting, as we have for the last week or so, that the public sector, based on these spending cuts that are now on the block, the public sector is shrinking all across America. Beth Koblenner joins us, takeaway contributor and appointee to the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. Good morning, Beth.
Hi, John.
And it's great to talk to you. Public sector shrinking. Can the private sector pick up the slack? And if so, where?
Well, it's a tricky question, and I got to tell you that a lot of these jobs that we've seen, even if they're not public sector jobs, are sometimes contingent on federal spending. And we are in somewhat of a precarious moment right now, so no one can say with certainty how this is going to shake out, but there are certain trends that I'm confident of when it comes to employment.
And we talk about job creation, you know, in Washington, and lawmakers try to talk about job creation, but when jobs are created independent of government spending,
right?
You know, what does that look like, and where can we find such places in the United States right now?
Right. Well, first, let's start with some grim news, because why not? We've been hearing a lot of grim news, and the sort of the jobs you can really find today are in lower-paying jobs. There was a new report that just came out, the National Employment Law Project, and basically they pointed to the fact that during the recession, of all the jobs that were lost, 60% that were lost were these mid-wage jobs, meaning bookkeeper jobs, kindergarten teacher jobs, food service manager jobs, and jobs that paid as much as $21 per hour. Pretty good jobs. Now, after the recession ended, in the last year or two, we've been seeing more of the new jobs created, 73%, have been lower-wage jobs, paying under $14 or less, jobs like cashiers, stocking clerks, food prep jobs. So basically the message there is you can find lower wage jobs these days pretty much all over. They're more prevalent than they were a couple of years ago, so you'll probably have to work more hours to make up that difference.
All right, so that's a mobility that's independent of geography here.
Right.
You're talking about if you want to be mobile in this economy drearily, you're going to have to move down the wage scale and move, you know, up the hourly scale in
exactly.
The sense that you're going to be working even more than full time. Who typically does that, and are these jobs getting filled?
The jobs are getting filled, and people are also moving, you know, down the education scale in the sense that if you have, you know, if somebody is, despite their education, they're moving down to a job that perhaps they thought they wouldn't have had to have, or somebody, despite their tenure or their experience, are taking a job that they felt they were overqualified for. So that's happening across the board. Sort of the other big area that we have seen growth and seems to be continuing to grow are these green jobs. Now, that partly, they're private industry jobs, but that partly has been fueled by, no pun intended, by, you know, lots of regulations that were going on with the EPA.
So federal subsidies, state subsidies in some cases, certain kinds of incentive programs to install green appliances or energy-saving devices.
Exactly. And there have been news reports everywhere. You know, MSNBC did a piece a couple of weeks ago that I was reading about in Knoxville, Tennessee. There was some great, it's called Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and that's been the biggest source of jobs in Knoxville, Tennessee, where one in every 20 job is considered green now. But I called them up yesterday to say, hey, you know, now with this new, the whole deficit plan, how is this all going to affect you guys? And I just spoke to somebody there who said, you know, science funding's discretionary, and this lab could see its funding cut starting in 2012. So with a lot of these green jobs, even in private industry, that's a big concern.
So here you have a high-tech sort of pocket in Knoxville, Tennessee, but it is still based on a public sector institution, the
exactly.
Oak Ridge National Lab. Where can I go where I don't need to worry about any federal or state tax dollars funding my possible employment?
Well, that's a tricky one, but we are, there was a the other sort of area, what they've been calling, I sort of dubbed it the light blue collar jobs, somewhere between blue collar and white collar jobs, or a Wired magazine in June did a great piece, and they called them these smart jobs. And basically this notion of their kind of middle class jobs, the new middle class job that's popping up, where you don't necessarily need a PhD or you don't need necessarily even college education in all cases to get these manufacturing slash technology jobs. And they're not just, they're actually not necessarily in New York City, not in Silicon Valley, but more in smaller cities.
And these are machine operators, these are systems managers, these
exactly.
are tech maintenance jobs.
Technicians, analysts at factories, and for example, taking like an old fashioned, for example, cotton processing, cotton gin, and using a more somewhat higher tech device that'll take about 25 workers to operate it.
Right.
And so you're getting more workers. You're not replacing workers with machines, but you're getting more workers who have to be somewhat higher skilled in running them.
So the strategy takeaway there, Beth, is to find a sector of the economy that is robust, healthcare, for instance, and look for the maintenance possibilities in the high-tech component of that employment sector. Beth Koblenner, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good advice, as always, from Takeaway contributor and appointee to the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. We're looking for your stories and your input into our series on unemployment as we wait for the number for July at the end of the week. Thanks, Beth.
And we want to get more of your stories about issues for the jobless.
My name is Sarah Shempert in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I was a stay-at-home mother for 4 years. And then was abruptly left by my husband. Even though I have a college degree, this has basically made me unemployable. So now I am trying to find a career to take care of my two small children, and it's nearly impossible.
And here's another caller who had some advice.
Hey, this is Seth from Hoboken. And I hear more and more people talk about why they're unemployed. And the problem is that people aren't very proactive. When I was in college, I got some great advice. Don't go out and try to get somebody to hire you. Actually do something and then find somebody to pay you for what you're already doing. If you're not doing anything, if you're not being productive, then nobody's going to want to hire you.
Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE, whether you have a story or you have some advice, or you can head over to our site, thetakeaway.org. We have been examining issues of the long-term unemployed, especially over this past week. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.